From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. We continue our discussion now about how healthcare reform is affecting the Cooley region, turning our attention next to the insurance industry. A little later, Wisconsin Public Radio's Danielle Kading will talk with Wisconsin Insurance Commissioner Sean Dilwig about how the state is helping insurers deal with the new law. But first, the perspective of one area insurance agent with nearly 40 years in the business. 8 years ago, among other things, Dave Trapp began serving as a consultant with area schools and businesses that were trying to form a health insurance cooperative to lower escalating health care costs. Trapp sat down with UW Extension's Mary Meehan Strube this week to talk about what reform means for those efforts by the Cooley Area Regional Employers, or CARE as it's known. Trapp says requirements of the health care reform law have pretty much halted the group's efforts.
The Health Care Reform Act was something we were waiting for to have it mature because in it, early on, there was language about funding employer health cooperatives. Well, the final bill is probably going to hurt us rather than help us because it's inanely complicated and you have to create a nonprofit insurance company and it has to be a statewide entity. And a lot of things have to be done in the next 3 months to establish a board of directors. And then you claw after money for the next 2 to 3 years. And we've already had a meeting of other cooperatives to see if we could do a statewide arrangement with the people in Milwaukee, which is the largest, Green Bay and ourselves. And their opinion is that the law is so convoluted that we're not going to waste our time.
In general, what's your reaction to the health care reform law?
Probably shouldn't have been called health care reform. It should have been called increased access. It's a very humane law. Increased access, but it's mainly a tax bill, the government looking for money and looking for ways to shift things downhill eventually by 2016. All of Medicaid and any of the new people entering these exchanges, the way the law reads, could be the responsibility of the state with no federal money. And I hope our representatives are understanding that already 50% of the budget is for these types of programs, and all of a sudden there won't be much to vote on if all this law stands and isn't overturned in 2010 and 2012 elections. There won't be much government to be done in Madison because it's all going to be health and social services and I don't know, they might have to talk about 22% of the budget. The rest of it is set. That would be pretty ugly, very ugly.
Do you think that health care reform is going to really get to the root of the issue?
No, because it doesn't address cost. We have to address how to control costs and utilization and how to solve some of the relationships between the providers and the insurers and the insured. This is a cultural phenomenon as well as an economic phenomenon. Basically, the only thing that healthcare costs follow happen to be inflation and the CPI. In other words, when people have money, they buy more healthcare. Or if they have something that's going to pay for it, they buy more healthcare. If, in fact, their deductibles increase and they have other conditions, they don't buy as much healthcare. In other words, healthcare is kind of like automobiles. You decide whether you're going to buy a new car. You decide whether you're going to buy new shoes.
Who's going to end up paying the bill here?
That's a big problem because just last month it was announced that there are more, federal government jobs producing wages than there are the private sector. And the only way the government gets money to pay for increased healthcare for people that need it is by taxing real revenue from the private sector, or you just churn money, which is where our economy is going. You just tax and bring the money in, and then you pay it to a government employee, but you tax it again, and then you bring a percentage because that's a tax back in. But eventually that doesn't work. People that have money, people that have insurance, they use it. They have it. They are healthier. Poverty is probably the root cause of being unhealthy, and those that just don't have, don't utilize, or don't have access to the services.
What will happen to insurance companies?
They are a necessary conduit for money. and management and risk absorption. So what they do is they will just shift to whatever stream of money related to risk comes out of this. And it will be some form of insurance, but it's not going to be the health insurance that you see today. It's going to be expensive supplemental policies to go on top of federal programs. It's going to be long-term care, which is mandated for next year and is a terrible program, so people are going to buy long-term care from the private sector. Yeah, so the insurance industry will just find another flow of money where there's risk and the public anticipates a need. And it'll stratify health care. I'm afraid that it's already stratified in the law. Most people won't be able to afford a platinum plan. They'll get a bronze or a lead 60% of essential benefits plan because they can't afford it even with the subsidies.
Do you think that any of the health insurance companies will be out of business because of health care reform?
No, as a matter of fact, I think once the government figures out that they don't know what they're doing in a couple areas, there's actually going to be some markets where I see revenue flowing from the life insurance industry, where there is revenue, into some related health products. I think you're going to see companies getting combining, as they are now. They just started 2-3 years ago, annuities and life insurance with long-term care. And you're going to see more of those things. I embarrassingly told my son I would anticipate, a 10 or 20% increase in activity this year and 30 or so percent every year for the next number of years because the marketplace gets all shook up. I think everything that happens in 2010, and there's some good stuff, will stand in 2011, but we'll have something else by 2012. We'll get rid of all this junk about exchanges and bronze plans, and all that'll all go away.
Recent surveys of employers suggest that we're headed for a 2-3% increase in health insurance costs this next year. Is that what you're expecting?
I would expect 3-5 just on mandates. And then, the Mental Parity Act and state mandates and the age to 26. And the forecasts that I've just gotten are 7-9% for next year. And then you take into consideration whatever experience that group has, and the fact the insurance companies are going to have to no longer ask a lot of relevant health questions. We're going to have to take the business without guarantee issue, with no limits on payment. That's good, incidentally, and that could have been done a long time ago, but that will drive costs up. Mm-hmm. And really, the only solution to the problem are finding things that drive costs down. There's very few, if any, things that drive costs down in this entire bill, which is kind of strange when we know the problem is costs.
What about the consumers? How are they supposed to figure this all out?
What the government has done to health care, unfortunately, has turned it into something that's going to be, if any of this survives, as complicated for the employer and the employee as the pension business. And you got to figure out your poverty level, your options from the employer, your options from the exchange. Every consumer is going to be sitting with 2 or 3 prices. The answer to your question is you better find yourself a good agent, a good broker, an attorney.
In 10, 20 years, where do you think we'll be?
We're going to have to figure a way for the government to get out of this incredible sinking liability of health care, which they're trying to do in this act. They're trying to dump it on the states. But that's not going to work. So we have to figure a way for government to put together some more rules that allow the providers and the premium payers and the insurers to all benefit. And there are some areas where there could be agreement where absolutely everybody benefits. Mm-hmm. But you just have to collect enough of these areas where everybody benefits that it becomes obvious, and it would have to be enforced by the government because All three will be dragged to the table, kicking and screaming. Okay, but there are some areas that over the next 10 years we're going to have to find that benefit absolutely everybody, and then there's going to be two or three that are going to just be incredibly, it'd be a disaster for both insurance companies, providers, and the insured. They're going to be all forced to do something that they don't like. But I think there'll be fewer of those than the good stuff. And if we can just get everybody to the table and have the government just insist that there's going to be something done, I think we can get out of this thing. But government absolutely wants to get out of it. And the employers can't constantly, or the insured constantly, support this system. It's just not going to work.
Sounds like we are in for a time of experiential learning.
Yeah, we're actually going to have to come to an understanding of community and greater good, and toss away some of the concepts that we romantically hang on to because of watching John Wayne movies, and understand that there are a lot of good things you can do if you have a community unity. I mean, we don't complain about libraries and we all pay for them, and we don't complain about our roads and we all pay a little bit every month. So what's the big deal if there's a tax structure that then supports this entity that the rules are made by the government, but it's actually run by the providers and by the employers and by the insurance companies?
As we move or transition into healthcare reform, what's this going to mean to those who were actually members of the care organization?
Well, they will have an advantage in that we do have access to resources and research, the International Benefits Foundation, a couple other places. So these people will probably get their questions answered faster on areas of healthcare reform and what their options are. In fact, probably by the end of this next month, we're going to be advising members to adopt a payment strategy different from payroll deductions that have been handled before by a percentage or an allocation of money, and go to a system that's going to be a percent of income, so that the higher paid people pay more for their health insurance and the lower paid people pay less. And we're just going to have to continue being a group purchasing conduit for ideas and keep them far enough ahead, I hope, that whatever happens, they can do better.
La Crosse-based insurance agent and consultant Dave Trapp, in conversation with UW Extension's Mary Meehan Strube, talking about healthcare reform and insurance and the impact of the new law on efforts of area schools and businesses to form a healthcare cooperative to help reduce the costs of health insurance. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. As consumers, we have our insurance agents and insurance companies to look to for answers to the questions relating to healthcare reform and how they affect us individually. But where do the insurance companies turn when they need help dealing with changes in the health reform law? One source is the Wisconsin State Insurance Commissioner's Office. Insurance Commissioner Sean Dilwig told WPR's Danielle Kading his office is doing all it can to help others understand changes that are coming to Wisconsin.
We have been working on this since the law passed. As a lot of people know, Governor Doyle created an Office of Healthcare Reform here in the state to implement the federal changes that Karen Timberlake and myself co-chair for him. I am obviously working on the insurance side of this, where there is a lot of activity this year as it relates to various mandates and being implemented this year. And obviously the ultimate healthcare reform goes into full effect in 2014. So as we put together an exchange, really an exchange market for the state.
So what are some of the things that you're watching for or looking for as these changes are taking place?
You know, we have a very competitive insurance market in Wisconsin. And so to make sure that we don't see market disruption and that consumers have the various market players to turn to buy insurance from. It's important to note that the private insurance market in Wisconsin is really only 30% of the market. That's the only area that I regulate in the state. Another 40% of the market are the large self-funded companies. Someone like Harley-Davidson would self-fund, and they are already regulated by the Federal Department of Labor. And then you obviously have Medicare and Medicaid that make up another 30% of the market. And so we are really, the mandates that are going into effect immediately is things like no pre-existing condition for children up to age 19. That's something immediately that plans cannot discriminate against a child on a health plan. We're implementing dependent care up to age 26. Currently, Wisconsin has that up to age 27. That, however, is only in that 30% of the market, so the remaining 40% of the market now needs to move to providing for health care for children up to age 26. And we've been working in the near term very closely on putting together the new high-risk pool that goes into effect July 1st, and that's really for those individuals with pre-existing conditions that are not children can turn to a federally subsidized high-risk pool and get insurance through that.
So how are some of these near-term and also long-term changes going to change health insurance here in the state?
It really provides more certainty for the consumer. So, you know, there's a number of other changes that get at rescissions, but I would say it really provides more certainty so that when you're buying the insurance, you're clear it's there for you. You're not going to have a company turning around and maybe one denying you coverage or denying you coverage after you have a claim. It really puts a lot of those protections in place. We are very well positioned here in Wisconsin. We passed a number of insurance changes last year that have led up to this, as well as really working through the Badger Core and Badger Care changes that have gone into effect.
And do you happen to know offhand how many people in Wisconsin are insured?
With 30% of the market, it's roughly 1.4 million people have private health insurance, and then obviously you have another, you know, roughly 2 million people that have large self-funded plans.
Some of these reforms that were passed with the legislation in Congress, they won't take effect until 2014. So is it likely with health insurance companies in Wisconsin or nationwide that we're going to continue to see things such as rises in health care premiums? Are those going to continue until then?
We are directed this year to get a handle on the health care rates that companies are charging in our state. We're working with the federal government on how to implement that, and that does need to be in place by the end of this year, and that will give consumers a much better feel for the rates that companies are charging, bring a lot more transparency. Because right now when you're buying a policy, you're navigating a very opaque area. And so for you to understand what the rate is being charged, I mean, you can go online now for car insurance and really find easy differentials. And there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do the same for health insurance. But as far as some of the underlying cost drivers, you know, we are only looking at the insurance changes this year. There are a number of changes that go into effect on preventive health care and things like that over the next few years.
How are insurance companies in Wisconsin regulated by your office right now? And is that expected to change very much with this legislation?
We have over 40 health insurance companies operating in the state. We obviously examine and look at those companies and pursue complaints against those companies for consumers. That's really our role. What I see this doing is forcing some changes in how they administer health insurance, forcing them to decide how heavily they participate in certain markets, whether it be by an individual insurance or small employer insurance, things like that. And my goal is to make sure that the consumer has enough choices to make educated decisions. And really, this idea of a central exchange where you can go online and examine plans that are really more self-explanatory, have more standardized terms, and all the terms in the contracts mean the same thing, will help the consumer in the end make their healthcare choices.
As far as some of those privately owned health insurance companies in the state, is it likely that some may just decide to get out of the business altogether? And if they do, how would that affect people who are buying that coverage?
These are business decisions that the companies will have to make. We're obviously watching all the companies closely, and the concern would be if you were to see that in certain regions of the state. You always want to make sure that there's enough coverage available and options available, and that's decisions they will have to make as we get closer to the implementation in 2014 of the exchange.
As part of this reform, are you discussing with those insurance companies what these changes may mean for them?
We're talking to the companies, to the agents, to consumer groups, to providers, hospitals, and clinics, and really helping them understand the law as it gets implemented. We have, in conjunction with the Department of Health and Family Services, over 400 items to get in place before 2014, and that takes a lot of heavy lifting with the federal government. So we are actively communicating with all parties on how this works. I think it's important, Danielle, that we've really been working on the near-term changes this year because there were a variety of mandates put in place right away upon passage and then by September of this year. So honestly, that's been the bulk of our conversations.
Wisconsin's State Insurance Commissioner Sean Dilwig in conversation with Wisconsin Public Radio's Danielle Kading, discussing what health reform means for the insurance industry in the state of Wisconsin. And for this week, that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Our production team includes Steve Rysom, Danielle Kading, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. Newsmakers is back the first Thursday in July in its new one-hour format. The program allows greater flexibility and scope in exploring top stories through interviews, features, and documentary-style reporting. Newsmakers will also produce additional monthly specials in August and September and will provide expanded election year coverage this fall. To hear this or other editions of Newsmakers, we invite you to visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio. And if you'd like to comment on this Newsmakers or have suggestions for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. We invite you to send us a note. That and more all at wpr.org/lacrosse.